Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is good, isn't he? Yes, sir. Last Sunday, you might not have no lights. Some of you didn't have any water. Some of you may still not have any water. We hope you do. But is God good? He's good. He's good. We got through it, didn't we? And we're getting through it, and we're going to get through it, and we still can all say thank you, Lord. I'm just happy. I'm happy to see somebody. Amen. I know those of you that's tuning in by way of live stream, by way of Facebook Live, YouTube Live, by way of conference call, and a few that's in our building this morning. We are just thankful that God has made a way for us to be able to worship Him and to fellowship with each other. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And so we're here to serve the Lord. This is the first day of the week. And that's what Christians do upon the first day of the week. Yes. And so we give. God has been good to us every single day. And we don't want to take it for granted. We're thankful. We are praying for those that are still in distress right now. Those who are displaced. You're in another place. You're not in your homes. Some of us, we didn't skip a beat. And I hope we took the time to say thank you, Lord. You know, you take it for granted. And some of us without lights for a day, some for 5 days, some for even more than that. And so we are mindful. A lot of works have been going on. We've been doing some distributions. There are distributions around the city. Individuals have been giving. As shepherds, our elders are trying to look out after the needs of those that have special needs. And there are those who are still not in their homes, and we're addressing those needs. And we thank you for staying in tune. We thank you for not taking off and say, well, I'm just going to skip Bible class. I'm going to skip worship service. And I'm just going to because God is still in control. And we want to thank him for blessing us. If you're tuning in as a guest this morning, thank you. Thank you for tuning in to our worship service at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We have individuals all over the world that's literally worshiping with us at different times. And so in a way, this has been a change, a difference. But really, our numbers have been growing. And I know we hopefully we won't stay like this forever. And we'll continue to reach out, but continue to spread the word. We have lots of activities going on. You see the announcements that go on in before service, the slides. We have Bible classes for young people, for children, workshops going on, outreaches going on. We still have someone at the building ministering to individuals that's coming by in need. And so we haven't closed shop and don't intend to close shop. And we appreciate you. I want you to study with me this morning. I want to introduce some lessons that I'm going to start this morning. I've entitled the lesson Seven Churches. And today's lesson is really kind of an introduction to us. And so let's dive into the word. I hope you're ready to worship God and to study God's word this morning. Meet with me in the book of Revelations, if you will. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. In Revelations, the book of Revelations are revealing. It's the apocalyptic message that God sends through his Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, through the Apostle John. What do you mean, Brother Gary? Apocalyptic. It's the prophetic message about the consummation of all things, the ending of all things as we know it, especially on earth. And he sends this message to us. And listen to it in verse number 1. Stay with me if you will. Don't go to sleep. Get your notepads out and sit up. Got your coffee. Get out the kitchen. Sit down. If you're laying down, at least keep your head up out the covers, okay, this morning. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The revealing of Jesus Christ. Verse 1. Which God gave him. I love studying the Bible. And some of you, if you've been with a series, we talked about, you know, according to the scriptures and with all authority, the process. God is the orchestrator, and God gives the message to his son, that the Holy Spirit. It says the revealing of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants, who are the bondservants. And see, some people think the Bible is for somebody else. The bondservants, well, The bond servant, let's go to Revelation chapter 11, verse 18. Chapter 11, verse 18. Because, see, some of we read the Bible, we think it's for everybody else. And you better get your part out of this word. He says in verse 18, "And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came. And the time came for the dead to be judged. And the time to reward your bond servants." Who are they, Brother Gary? "The prophets and the saints and those who fear your name, the small and the great." So who are the bond servants? The bond servants are anybody who claims to know God, who serves God, who has an allegiance to God, whatever role you may play, whether it might be small. And the scripture says small or great, because some of us do things that people don't know about. Some people don't know our name, but guess who knows your name if you are a servant of God? God knows all our names if we choose to serve him and obey him. So when we go back to verse 1, it says, to show the message is for all of us. And if you're watching this morning, I'm hoping that you would want to become a bond servant. It's all of us, those who are the bonds. And now, if you're not a bond servant, this message is really troubling. And he says to his bond, go back to the chapter, to verse 1. He wants to show his bond servants the things which must soon take place. Now, I said this was an apocalyptic message. It's written centuries ago. In the first century, it's written by the apostle, through the Holy Spirit, by the apostle John. He says, I want to show you what's soon going to happen. Somebody might say, well, brother, that was thousands of years ago. But you got to understand who's talking. It's God talking. And see, God's soon is not our soon. Soon to us is real, like in the next few minutes. But God don't look at time. God is eternal. He's been here before we were, forever before we were, and he'll be here long, never end. So soon, 100,000 years, it might be soon to God. It might not be soon to us. And he says, it's soon going to take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. And this would be the Apostle John. You may be asking, who is John? Well, you remember Jesus? When he came to earth, when he started his mission, he selected 12, and John was one of those 12. And most scholars would agree at the time of this writing, John probably was the only apostle who was left. And he's an old man. He's an old man. I'll show you that in just a moment. But John, John was also, go to John. John is, he's accredited through the Holy Spirit to at least five letters of the New Testament. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You have 1st and 2nd and 3rd John. And then you have Revelations. And so we have here John. Most would agree with that. He said, look at John chapter 13, verse 23. This is the John lying back on Jesus' chest was one of his disciples. John writing about himself, but he didn't call. He said, I was laying on Jesus' chest. Whom, the scripture says, whom Jesus loved. Yeah. This is at a point when Jesus is talking to them. And John, remember now, those of you that study your Bible, you know, Jesus was no more than, in earthly years, no more than 33 when he died. So he started his ministry at the age of 30. His apostles were probably around the same age or younger. And here, John, Jesus is teaching, he's talking, and he is all under Jesus, listening to every single word. And he laid his head on his chest. Oh, that's an affectionate man. You know, and the scripture goes on to say in John 19, verse 26. Listen, John 19, 26. This is an introduction to these seven churches. So when Jesus saw his mother, this is Jesus on the cross. He saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby. And he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Jesus put his mother into John's care. Yeah, I like that. I know, you know, this is, don't misconstrue this, don't misinterpret this, but you know, some people, you know, Jesus loved all his disciples as we, you know, we love people. But some people are more affectionate than others. You might well tell the truth. You know, some of our kids, well, we love all our kids the same, but some of them express it, you know, some of them. You know, they call you, they come up, one of them might come grab your leg or rub your bald head or say, or just, you know, out the clear blue, sometimes people have affection, they'll just walk up to say, you know what, I really love you. And you can say what you will or may, we're not supposed to show favors, but you know, some melt our heart more than others. Amen, that's just the truth. In the Lord's church, you know, in the church, I love every member of the Lord's church. You know, but some, you don't love them more, but they are more tender. And I know sometimes, I don't know if it's a gift, but some people don't have no problem showing their affection. And obviously that was John. And you, guess what? It touched Jesus. And I'm telling you, notice that's what he says. Listen to John 23. So Peter and the other disciple left. This is after Jesus had resurrected from the grave. Mary, they came and told him, hey, he's risen. And Peter John calls himself the other disciple. They left and they were going to the tomb. Listen to this. The two were running together and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb. This is John. John said, look, he said, he's alive. What? And Peter started running. John, I ran Peter to the grave. Yeah. And so it's not surprising to me that the Holy Spirit, that God used John to write this passionate, this all-important apocalyptic message to us, to try to reach us, to try to get us to understand the importance. And I've titled the seven churches, and it's definitely a message to all the churches, but it's the church's corporate, and it's all to also to us as individuals. So all of us have a message in this message, and he communicated that. He says to his bond servant John, you know what, there's not a better compliment that somebody can say at your funeral, that you are a bond servant of the Lord. Yeah, and then he goes on to say in verse 2, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, everything that he saw. Boy, God laid it on John. Boy, he gave him a message. He gave him visions, and he gave them just what he wanted him to say and what he wanted him to teach. He said, John, I'm giving this to you, and write it. Yeah, look at John chapter 16, verse 33. This is what John said in one of his letters, verse 33. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. He's quoting Jesus. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I've overcome the world. These are John's, this is John's message. And so we see in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 9, we're still in Revelation 1, 9, the scripture says, I, John, your brother and fellow participant in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance in Jesus. He says, John, I love when the Holy Spirit puts itself in our place. He says, your brother and fellow participant in the tribulation. Say, in this world we have what? Tribulation. Yeah, it just don't get past us. I'm understanding that better as I get older. You know, some things. I've been in the church a long time, and I hear messages, and sometimes you think people think you can't really relate to it, but some things you can't know when you're young. You know, see, some things only come through experience. You, what do you mean, Brother? Some things you think you know, but see, you see, when you're young. Now, I know some of us we experience things at a young age than others. But you can't know really how nobody feels if you haven't lost your mother. You can't know how it feels until you lose your mother. Amen? Yeah. And John says, I'm your fellow participant in the tribulation. And in this world, we're going to have some tribulation. It comes in different forms. And so there, not one of us. We need to be careful about getting into this pity party to say, Lord, why is this happening to me? Because it don't skip nobody. See, some of us, it just haven't happened yet. Some of us, it's already happened to. Some of us are going through it right now. And so he relates, he says, look, don't be confused. Because, see, I'm telling you what's going to happen soon, and what is going to happen in the future, it will overcome anything that we're going through right now. Whatever it is, I've had this health crisis for 30 years. It's nothing compared to eternity. And she said, don't give up. Don't get disillusioned because you lost your child. Oh, have mercy. Oh, Lord, please. Don't put that one on me if you can help it, Lord. That's what I pray. I say, Lord, don't put no more on me than I can bear. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But some are going through it. Amen. That's why we sing that song, What the World Needs Now is Love. Oh, we need a whole lot of that. Yeah, and he says, participant in the tribulation and kingdom. Oh, my goodness. This is a whole lot in this. He says, see, and kingdom. He says, I'm your participant in the tribulation, the daily trials we go through, and kingdom. That's the corporate. That's the body of Christ. He says, see, you're not on an island by yourself. God didn't put you here to isolate yourself from everybody. Well, I'm just going to take care of me, myself, and I. It don't work like that. We're in the kingdom. We're in this together. We're the body of Christ. Amen. Members in particular. He says, and kingdom and perseverance in Jesus. Perseverance in Jesus. That's why I need to see some of y'all sometime. I hope you need to see me sometime. In the perseverance. Because see, sometimes you can be down. Oh, the mercy, you're down. You get disillusioned. You get depressed. Boy, you need to see something. We need to sing together. We need to pray together. We need to talk to somebody together. None of us are that strong. But I'm strong. You're not that strong. No, you're not that strong. No. And then that's, some of us try to do it. And we're not doing nothing but with building pressure in the pipe. It's pressure. It's pressure. Because you try to do it on your own. Oh, I'm fine. What's wrong? Oh, I'm doing good. I'm good. Y'all, you just lying. You're not that good. Yeah, and that pressure builds up. And sooner or later, something's going to give. And John, he said this. He says, I was on the island of Patmos. He was on the island. John, he's old. Because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. See, John, Apostle John, he was on the Isle of Patmos. Patmos was a small island. It's off the coast of what we call our present day Turkey. And he was exiled. The scripture says he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos, and that means he was expelled. He probably wrote this letter in while he was in Ephesus, and John was a preacher, and he preached the word, and that's why. So he was exiled because of his Christianity, because of what he was teaching and what he was preaching. And some of you, exile means to be expelled or banned. He was banned, and he was on the Isle of Patmos. He was put there by the Roman Emperor Domitian. If I'm pronouncing his name right, and this would come from secular history. Some of you know about Pliny. Pliny would be the Roman historian. You heard of the word Josephus, who was the Jewish historian. The writings of Pliny are plenty right now. You read them in your own oracles. Pliny's writings are not in the Bible, but you see he writes about Domitian, who was the emperor. He was one of the emperors. He was one of the Roman emperors who demanded that people call him a god with a little G. and he wanted it. He wanted all acclamation. So when John was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and surely he was preaching against this calling some man God, Domitian didn't like it, but he didn't want to kill him because he was an old man, and he expelled him. Send him out of here. Stop preaching this gospel. Stop preaching this news, this foolishness. And he put him on the island of Patmos, and he's old. He's an old man, and the Holy Spirit uses him. You know, I don't know. Some would say, you see, the history says in the 14th year of Domitian, that's when he put John on the Isle of Patmos. We know he had to be old because Jesus had been dead for some years now, and he writes this letter, and I'm like, as an old person, is it true? You know, I wonder. You know, I'm in the middle right now, but when you get old, do you just supposed to just sit down and do nothing? Yeah, I'm getting some waves out there. Amen, somebody. I'm telling you, I know that's not true. I know it's not true. I know so, because see, and I don't know if I need to use the word old, seasoned. Amen, somebody. Because here at the Field World Church of Christ, we have this active. As a matter of fact, I don't know what I would do without the seasoned saints of our congregation. I'm just telling you. I mean, some of them put the young folk to shame. We had a truck come out this week. The disaster relief truck come out. Was it this week? Yeah, early this week. And we need some brothers to unload the truck. And I walked in there, and I saw them brothers. I said, man, we need some young brothers to be unloaded. They were not in the 90s, but they were some seasoned brothers. Amen, somebody. Yeah, we can do a lot when we season. Amen. John said, I'm not through yet. God said, you're not through yet. And God used John to write this letter. And he's alone. He's really kind of almost by himself. And he writes this letter. And the Holy Spirit uses him to write this letter to the churches. And I was thinking about that. He was punished because of his Christianity. Have we ever been punished because of our stance on something? You know, are we Sunday Christians? Oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah, Jesus. Love to sing, praise the Lord. And I brought this back to me because we're in the 21st century. I don't think we've experienced some of the things that they experienced in the first century, certainly, and not unto death and not unto expelling and not, but you know, there are times that we need to make a stand. Peter's put it this way in 1 Peter 4:16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, the scripture says he's not to be ashamed, but it's to glorify God. God in his name, if we suffer as a Christian. And I think about, see, you know, sometimes I've gone through, I'm not like John, but I was thinking, see, what are things that we do now that we might be persecuted, expelled, or banned for? Well, that's a lot of things going on. I think Christians have been too quiet on. Well, amen, somebody? Yeah. What do you mean, Brother Gary? I mean, you know, now in the world, you know, don't nobody want you to say nothing by nobody, by nothing. Yeah. Amen. And see, think about it. See, our children, Lord have mercy, our children, if somebody don't say something, they gonna be so confused. You turn on the television, you see men marrying men, women. Oh, I'm gonna get some texts for this one. I'm gonna get some emails for this one. I know it. You want my email address? Where else, if I was on television, we own television, we own social media, but if I was on one of the networks, I would be fired. Amen. I got a question for you. Are we afraid of standing up for the Lord? Yeah, and so I remember when the Pope came. I don't know who it was. We were watching television, and I think my kids, somebody was watching with me, and there were people literally falling on the Pope was coming through. People were falling on the ground, kissing the ground. And this is no indictment. I'm not, I'm not trying to indict anybody. I'm just saying. You know, sometimes the scripture is so blatant about what we ought to be doing, what we need to be teaching. You see something in total, people worshiping the Pope and I'm like, what is going on? And it reminded me of a passage in Acts chapter 14, verse 12. Listen to this. I'm just going to read this. This is not, if you got a question about it later, you can ask me about it. We can talk about it. I just want to read this to you. Acts chapter 14, verse 12. And I'm going to end on time. And they began calling Barnabas Zeus. And Paul Hermes, this is the scripture in the New Testament. The Apostle Paul, Barnabas, preacher of the gospel. And some say call him one of the apostles also. He called him Zeus. Zeus was the god, the little god with a little g, deity. Hermes, since he was the chief speaker, Paul. Moreover, the priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates and wanted to offer sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles, Barnabas, and Paul heard about it, they tore their robes and rushed out into the crowd, crying out and saying, men, why are you doing these things? He says, we are also men of the same nature as you, preaching the gospel to you, to turn from these useless things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and sea and everything. Paul said, get up off of your, get up. What you doing? See, I wish, every now and then I'm talking to some of my buddies, they say, yeah, Gary, we're going to come to your church. I correct them when they say that. Yeah, we're going to come to your church. I say, look, brother, I don't have a church. This is the church of Christ. This is the church that belongs to Christ. And somebody needs to hear it. Amen, somebody. Yeah. And so it just reminded me. I'm like, man, John, he was banned and exiled. And sometimes it may not go to that extreme, but sometimes somebody needs to say something. What thus said the Lord? And I told you this is introduction. I thought you'd probably get this. It'll be about seven churches. I'm about to get there. Revelation 1 and verse 10. Then John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. Oh, I love this. Somebody, why we gotta come to church? I can serve God and don't have to come to church. See, you got the phrase wrong. See, yes, we are the church. Amen. But according to the scriptures in the Old Testament, God set aside the Sabbath day. Remember, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy? Sabbath day was the seventh day. It would be equivalent to our Saturday. But Jesus rose on the Lord's day. And we see scriptures in Acts 27 on the first day of the week when the disciples, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, to commune with each other. The disciples came together. What do you mean they came together? Because the church is not the church by yourself. The word church means assembly. Yeah. It means you got to get up. And I know some churches are bigger than others, but God, we are the body of Christ and members. Nobody has one finger and is a body. And John said, I was in the spirit. He was already used to worshiping on the Lord. Are you yearning? Those of you that's watching right now, you're in your home, you're in your bed, you're in your kitchen, you're in your living room. Aren't you yearning to be together? Yeah, yeah. And so don't miss the Lord's day. Unless you are providentially hindered, unless you just can't get to nobody, and thank the Lord for the internet, thank the Lord for social media, thank the Lord that somehow, some way, we can be in the spirit on the Lord's day. That's what it is today, the Lord's day. This is a day, I understand what you're saying. God is good. Can't we take a moment to thank God for all his wonderful blessings? John said, I was in the spirit. On the brother Jamal was singing, I really love the Lord. Oh my goodness. He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. He says, and I heard behind me a loud voice, like the sound of a trumpet, saying, this is what the Spirit said to John, write on a scroll what you see. You see, I've been reiterating at the beginning of the year, I've been reiterating it according to the scriptures, because you say, Brother, I know the Lord. You won't know the Lord without the word of God. You will not, you think you know. You, what you are relying on is your feelings. That's, we must, brother Ray has been encouraging the whole church to read through the Bible 365 days a year. And Brother Ray, I thank you for encouraging the whole church. And I know some people, sometimes you read and you say, well, I'm not getting, yeah, you're getting something out of it. Yeah, you're getting something out of it. And he says, now, this is what God gave to Jesus, gave to the Holy Spirit, send an angel to John and says, John, you seeing it? He says, you experiencing it, but I want you to write it down. And we are reading today, thousands of years later, the very words that God gave John. And he says, write it on a scroll. And he says, write it to the seven churches. Yeah, listen, and we live in a pluralistic society, and I don't see, every now and then I don't want to, I mentioned the millennials, and sometimes the millennials get a bad name because we mention them so much, like they are some strangers, like they're trying to change everything, but I don't think the millennials are trying to change everything, but it is the largest generational group. You've taken over the baby boomers, and I'm a baby boomer. But then you have Generation X, and then you have another generation that's coming along. And see, in a pluralistic society, people try to make everything right. There are no absolutes, but not true. The word of God hasn't changed. It's not going to change anytime soon unless somebody try to change it. And he said, write it down, John, write this down. I don't want nobody to get it wrong. I want you to write the very words that you hear. Everything that is said, everything that you see, write it down, John. Because this is going to be for all the generations. And he uses this, I got 3 minutes to close. He uses this, he says, and give it to the seven churches. And he names the churches. He says, give it to Ephesus, to Smyrna. He says to Thyatira, he says, give it to Smyrna. Excuse me, yeah, Smyrna, Thyatira. He gives it to Sardis, to Philadelphia, to Laodicea. And he uses, pull up a map real quick. These are the churches. That's in Asia Minor. That's present-day Turkey, if you will, present-day Turkey. And you see, these cities almost, it's a very positive circular route. And he uses seven, but there were even more churches even when this was written. There were more churches there were about. But you know, seven is the complete number that God used. It's a complete. It was to include. It's like it's written to these seven, but it really is meant for every church. You know, We read in the book of Genesis, God completed his work, and on the seventh day, it was totally completed. The seventh day, he rested. And so he uses the seven, and he uses his church, and he writes this message to these churches, but he's writing this to every church, every individual, every bond servant. He writes this apocalyptic, very important message to each individual church, and he tells them what they are doing. He tells them the good, and he tells them the bad, and he says, this is for all generations. And that's where we're going with this series. And I want to begin the next time I preach to discuss the messages that he sends to all of these seven churches. They are very important. They're very important to us corporately, and they're very important to us as individuals. But God is good. His word is powerful. It's meant for us to be able to live by every single day, and for us to operate in our daily lives, and for us to stay encouraged as we go through our tribulations, as we go through our kingdom living. And he wants us to persevere. Oh, so many powerful passages in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He says, in the last part of that verse, he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown. And that's the encouraging message for us today. It's for you today. If you're here today, you're not a member of the body of Christ, of the church of Christ, of the church that Christ died for. You need to be, because that's where your protection is. You come by faith, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a reward of those who diligently seek him. And our doors are always open to anybody who wants to become a member of the body of Christ. If you're willing to repent of all your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. If you're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, what your heart believes, in Romans 10, 9 and 10, Matthew 10, 32. If you're willing to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all of your sins, Acts 2, 38, Mark 16, 16. God adds you to his body, to the church. You become a bondservant in the body of Christ. And if we live faithful unto death, he gives us a crown of righteousness, a crown of life. And we hope that you are there, you are right now, you want to be a member of that church. You can come. You can call us on the number on your screen, and we'll respond to you. If you have a prayer request, then we will pray for you. We will pray for whatever request that you ask for. And if you'd like to come to be a member of the body of Christ, would you come right now as we sing the song of invitation? May God bless you.
There are some things, awesome things that I may not know. Well, there are some places I can't go.
I cannot go.
But I am sure of this one thing, this one thing, and that's my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. And well, my God is real, my God, he's so real in my soul. He's real in my soul. You know that my God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. And all of his love for me is love, and well, it's like pure gold. You know that my God is real, for I can feel him in my soul.
This act of worship is communion, the Lord's Supper. And in the Lord's church, we take communion on the first day of each week. And we find examples in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart until tomorrow, and continue the speech until midnight. The bread, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 and 24. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray for the bread. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity to participate in this Lord's Supper. And Father, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you for all of the things that he's done for us, including giving us a right to the tree of life. And Father, we know that your bread, through this bread, which represents Jesus' body, you not only feed our souls, but you nourish our hearts. And you give substance to us to continue this race before us. These and the many blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can now take the bread. Fruit of the vine, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20.